Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Life of Jesus. Israel was an occupied country at the time of Jesus, and Roman law was superimposed on the Jewish people. A Roman soldier could order a Jew to stop whatever he was doing and carry a burden for 1 mile. The Jews obviously hated this law, and Jesus shocked them when he said to go an extra mile if the Romans compelled them to go 1 mile. As Christians, we should always be willing to go the extra mile. Treating unbelievers with kindness will certainly make them more open to the gospel message. Jesus also stated that we ought to care for our neighbors and help the poor. Giving and tithing should be a way of life, and God loves a cheerful and responsible giver. This message is entitled, Going the Extra Mile. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad you're with us here on this Sunday in July 2019. I want to talk particularly to YouTube listeners. Summertime is a time financially difficult for churches. There are two periods that churches suffer: Christmas and summer. During Christmas time, giving goes down because people are buying all the stuff for Christmas. They can't give to God's work. Summertime, people go on vacation and they want to spend extra money, so our income goes down. And so right now we have probably hundreds, if not thousands, of YouTube listeners. And you like it, you write to us, but most of you never give anything to this ministry. It costs us money to produce this. I have a staff here that we have to pay. I have to have salary myself. I got to pay mortgage. I got to eat. It costs money to live. So if you like our ministry, you have been giving, thank you. If you haven't given this summer, we really need a good amount of giving for this month to catch up for what we have lost in June and May. So I appreciate that very much. You got all the information on the screen, and thank you for helping us out. Today we're going to be talking about the life of Jesus. And I'm doing this a little different. I'm not just saying, okay, Jesus went on Monday here, Tuesday he did this, he talked to that person. I'm looking upon what Jesus taught, what he did, how he set up his church. And today we're going to look upon 2 points. Compulsory Roman service and being a giver. I want to take you to Matthew 5:41. We're going to start there. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain or twice. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for illuminate the word for us. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Anoint each one that's watching or listening, so that Father God will be able to understand and apply what we should apply in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some of you have read that before. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain. And your sympathies, I don't understand that. The gospel is simple. We understand Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day. He was incarnated. He's God in man. That's simple. But when it comes to the rest of the story of the Christian faith, we got to understand that this took place 2,000 years ago. not in America, not in Europe, but in the Middle East. And so how were things in the Middle East at this time when Jesus was here? We've had a number of empires had come and gone. For 2,000 years prior to Christ, we had Nimrod, we had Babylon, we had Assyria, we had the Greece Empire, we got the Egyptians, and we got the Hittite Empire that was so destroyed that nobody knew about it until about 40 years ago when we found it through archaeology. All these empires came and went, ruled for a while, and disappeared. At the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire ruled around the Mediterranean. They pushed back the Persians, but they did not completely defeat the Persians. Now the Romans, let's talk about it this way. We were at war with Russia or the Soviet Union for many years, the Cold War. And we were always fearful the Soviets would come here and occupy us. And let's say now that the Soviets had come here. They had conquered America. And they had communist soldiers, every city, commissaries. Everything was regulated. And we were under the heel of the Soviets. We would hate that, wouldn't we? I mean, you see Russian trucks, cars on the road, hear them speak their language, see the flag flying, American flag is taken down. We would be upset. We wouldn't like it. And then if they had a law that simply said this, that a Russian soldier any time could simply say, hey, you, come here. I want you to pick up this piece of equipment, and we're going to go over here, and you're going to go over with me now. You're going to carry that. You said, hey, man, I'm on my way to work. The Russian soldier said, I couldn't care less, man. Maybe you were doing something else. He said, drop what you're doing. I am a Russian. You are a defeated American. Shut up, pick it up, or go, or I will have you executed. That's how the Romans ran Palestine, actually Israel. It was then called Palestine. They divided it in three parts, Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. And the Roman law said this, a Roman soldier or an officer, any time that they needed something, they were walking someplace, had equipment they wanted to take with them, they didn't want to carry it, they simply said, hey, you, come here. Pick this stuff up and carry it with us. And the law was, you go 1 mile. Then you were dismissed. 1 mile. You understand the setting now. The Jews did not like the Romans. They hated them. They were occupiers. They loathed them. And now Jesus, speaking now, Sermon on the Mountain, said this, and whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go 2 miles. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians exploded. Jesus is a traitor. It's hard enough to go 1 mile. If you could go 2 miles with these guys, we hate them. But Jesus had a message here. And he simply does. Do good to your enemies. You see, being angry doesn't solve anything. It makes you sick. If we can release the anger, we can have forgiveness, and we simply do good, something will happen to us. I want you to see something that you probably never thought about. Turn to Matthew 27. 31. And after they had mocked Jesus, they took the robe off from him, put their own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out from the place there in Jerusalem where the Romans had their headquarters, they found a man of Cyrene. If you want to write this down, Cyrene was a province in Egypt. It's called today Libya. Very prosperous, wonderful. 1 million Jews lived at that time there. This man was in Jerusalem. Man from Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. Simon was going someplace. Here came the Roman soldiers with Jesus. He couldn't carry the crossbeam. And they simply said, hey, you, pick that thing up. And carried it up to Calvary. You read that scripture many times. But that was part of the law of going the extra mile. I want to take it to James now, chapter 2, verse number 14. What does it profit, my brethren, do a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now James was not part of the apostles. James was the half-brother of Jesus. The apostle James got killed just a couple of months after the resurrection. He was the first one to die. But James here simply says this now. We are to be compassionate. We are to simply look around and see if there is a need. Let's try to fill it. I want to share something with you here on this. My wife and I, we live out in the country. There's a little city called Lincoln, and we go to banking and shopping at times. So I was had been to the bank in Lincoln. I was going back home. It's about a 7-mile trip. And I noticed a man, probably about 40, 45 years old, with a gas tank, a little 1-gallon can. And he was coming out for the service station. And I realized that man has a car someplace, and he needs a ride. So he didn't stop for anyone. He just started walking on the road. He was going to walk back. Normally, I don't pick anyone up because of security reasons. And I prayed and I felt, you know, I'm going to pick this guy up. So I drove up, had the window rolled down and said, hey, man, you need a ride? He said, yes. I said, get in the back seat, I'll give you a ride. So get in the back seat. He told me, went off of the road that we not going home, but a different road. So I said, where's your car? Or it's further up. So we drove maybe about 4 miles, came to a stop sign. He said, you can let me out here. I said, I don't see your car. Well, it's a little further up. So I said, now I was a little bit uneasy, but I said, I'll take it to the car. So I went a little bit further, another mile or so, and we came to a bridge. This is now a 1-lane bridge. And the guy said, you can stop here. I said, okay. So there was a property. It was a gate over here. I had to back up. I let him out. I found out he had walked from his property. He opened a gate, had keys to it, and walked in. And I didn't have a chance to really to say, okay, now, you know, before you go out, let me tell you about Jesus. But I told him this. I said, now, God loves us. You had a need. I went out of my way to help you. And I'm glad I did. He was thankful. There are times you can do witness. There's times they're not open for witness. But what I want to share with that story is simple this. Selectively, I felt that this man needed help. We gave him the help. I went the extra mile, and I got him home. He had to walk about 4 miles otherwise from the gas station to his house. So we need to have an open mind. If somebody has a need, we can fill it. We should fill it. That brings me into my next subject, being a giver. And I'm going to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 15. And I want to show you. Now, what I'm going to say is not anti-Semitic. I'm just going to state a fact. So, this is a fact. The fact is that Jews are not givers. That's just a matter of fact. I mean, everybody, it doesn't matter what country you come from, you notice that Jewish people are not givers. They're not even givers to themselves. When Jesus came to set up Israel, he wanted them to be givers, compassionate. And we read for Deuteronomy chapter 15, I pick it up in verse number 7. If there be among you a poor man, or one of your brethren, within any of your gates, in your land, which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother. This is Jesus telling Moses, now this is the way I want it to be run here in Israel. If there be among you a poor man, or one of your brethren, within any of your gates, in your land, which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from a poor brother. Well, in other words, if we have people around us that are poor, that are not simply taking things because they can get something for nothing, we should be open-minded and willing to help. But you shall open your hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wants. So, in other words, be liberal. There's one thing that I want to say about America. Now, I'm not born here. I came here as a 22-year-old man. America is the most giving nation in the world. And when it comes to giving, if there's disasters in other countries, we got the Red Cross, we got a number of different things, churches. We have disasters here. When we had the disaster up here, the big fire just north of us here, people were giving. They set up places. People traveled from far away, loaded a car with things, come up, and gave to strangers. So the American people, because of the revivals, because of the churches in the time past, we have a spirit of giving. Let me give you a clue here. If you want to have money, be compassionate. Give. Giving generates wealth for the giver. It's a spiritual law. My family, we were not givers. We were takers. My parents never gave anything. We always took. I was not a giver. My wife, was a giver. And I remember I got so upset in our early life when we were as Christians. And we didn't have a whole lot. And she would give stuff away. I said, what do you do that for? That's ours. Well, they needed it. But what are we going to do? Oh, we can do without it. We get something else. I was sent to that. It was not until I was baptized in the Holy Spirit that I became a giver. And I realized the joy of giving. Now, it's another. We got a right foot here. I'm going to give you a left foot. There's a lot of people that are givers. But you try to give to them, and they go, no, I can't take anything. Why not? Oh, I just can't take it. That is pride, inferiority, insecurity. You're damaging your soul. We should be able to give. We should be able to receive and not be threatened. So giving and receiving is how a Christian should be living. If you have that principle, we're going to have a wonderful time together. Verse number 9. Beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him naught, and he crieth to the Lord against you, and it be sin unto you. Now most of you have read verse number 9, and you never understood that. There was a law in Israel that Jesus set up. If you were a slave, 6 years you were a slave, the 7 years you went free. If you had debts and things like this, the 7th year you were to be set free. So what Jesus said here is this. Do not have a wicked heart. The 7 years is up. You know that this guy owes you money. But the 7 years is up. You are to forgive that debt. You are to help him to get started again. Don't be wicked in your heart now. And do not do it. With other words, don't have wickedness in you. Be a giver. You should surely give him. And your heart should not be grieved. With other words, don't be sad. Be happy. As he says, God loves a cheerful giver. Because that for the thing the Lord your God shall bless you in all your works and all that you put your hand unto. Now, right now, that is a spiritual law. One of the spiritual laws that Jesus set up. For this thing, if you are giving, kind, for this thing the Lord your God shall bless you in all your works, in all that you put your hand unto. With other words, if you are a giver, there will be a blessing coming back to you. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Notice that. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you should open your hand wide unto your brother, to your poor and to your needy in your land. And I'm not going to read the rest of the verses here for time reason. But it was about setting a slave free. You don't only set him free. You gave him money and supplies as you released him. There was slavery at the time when this existed. Did Jesus set up slavery? No. Satan did. Jesus began to regulate it. And eventually, slavery was abolished among the Israelites. Now, Jesus reinforces law. Let's go back now to Matthew 5:42. That's Matthew 5:42. You know, I learned this. Giving is such a joy. And as God has given my wife and me a little bit more money in the later years, since we got on Social Security, you know, I can afford to give, I cannot give big ticket items. I can give small items. And it's a joy. When you see a need in somebody's house, they don't have a table, they don't have an air conditioning, they're lacking this or that, and you don't say anything, you just go out and buy it, bring it over and say, hey, here, here's for you. It's a joy. And this is what God wants us to live. Not to hoard, but to have an open hand. Now, back to Matthew 5:42. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not you away. Give. You might say, well, I don't have a whole lot to give. Give of yourself. You see somebody's yard need to be clean. Maybe somebody next to you is older people. Maybe they are sick. They can't move the lawn. It looks pretty bad. He simply says, well, I'm going to go knock on the door and say, you know, do you mind if I clean up your yard, take out your weeds and move your yard for you and water it? You're giving now. You're giving of yourself. When you do that, God is seeing that. The spiritual law of giving kicks in, and you will be blessed. Guaranteed. Let's turn now to Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. This is an addition to the spiritual law of giving. When Jesus simply said this, you give, I'm going to measure that. And the way you give, I'm going to give back to you. Isn't that wonderful? I can write my own ticket. So if I'm giving, now, when we came to the United States, 1963, we had 4 suitcases. I had $300 cash, and that's it. We were immigrants. So we came to my uncle and his wife, and this was in Salt Lake City, Mormon City, and they had a pattern there. They had a custom that when you had new immigrants coming in, they had a welcoming party. And so my uncle told me this. He said, now on such and such a day, we're going to have a lot of people come here. You don't know them, but they're going to give you stuff because you have nothing. I mean, we had nothing, no household group. We had no bedding or nothing. So I said, oh, boy, that's nice. So the day came, and sure enough, you know, 25, 30 people showed up. And you know what they gave us? Their junk. Whatever they had, they didn't want. That's what we got. I said, okay. So the first 2-3 years, that's what we had leftovers. You know, we had plastic curtains. I remember those. Very cheap plastic curtains. Stiff. And plastic plates, cups. So, when you give, don't give your trash. If you're going to give, give something great. Probably about 6-7 years ago, somewhere in that vicinity, we had an old truck, a 1977 Chevy truck. Silverado, V8. We were pulling a trailer with that. The truck got more and more tired. Transmission, truck got tired. When we got to hills, I was sitting like this. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we got over the hill. You know, So eventually I had saved up money. I had insurance, life insurance. I set it up, but I get 70 years old. I'm going to cash it in. I'm going to buy myself a brand new truck. I was thinking about that. Oh, I'm going to get a truck. But 2 years before I'm going to get my money, somebody rear-ended my wife's car. And it was totaled out. Here she was. And God said, you need to get the wife another car. What about my truck? Give your wife a car. Okay. So we got a nice little car. And she was happy. And I said, there goes the truck. So anyway, we had a Chevy, still another tap, broke down. So I realized that that was the gun, so we gave it all away. I was sitting in my office one day, shortly after that. The phone rang. A man called and said, are you going to be in your office? Are you going to stay there for some time? Yeah, I'm going to be here. He said, I'm coming down. I'm giving you a truck. I said, what? Did you hear what I said? Yeah. Okay. I just like. But half an hour later, the guy showed up, put the key on my desk and said, I'm giving you this truck. Give me a ride home. I got the paperwork too. The truck was a 250 F-250 Ford pickup truck. When the guy bought the truck, he put everything on extra they had. This truck had everything I had wanted and dreamt about. And here it was, given to me. I sat there. I tried not to cry. You know, I just tried to blink, you know. I don't want to cry. And every time I look at that truck, I say, God, you're a good God. And so I realized over the years that the spiritual laws of God are true. He will provide for you when you give. I want to read that scripture one more time. It's so good. Give and shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together. Running over shall men give in your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all shall be measured to you again. Now the Apostle Paul, he was always collecting money for the people. So turn to 2 Corinthians with me. Chapter 9. I'm going to read down a few verses here. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and you see it provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting you should be in vain on his behalf, that I said you might be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we that we say not, yet should I be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they will go before unto you, make up beforehand your bounty, where you have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as covetous. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You heard about the satirist use that verse many times. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. And this is true. It doesn't mean you give away everything. You are a manager of your money, of your things. You might be a businessman. You might be in whatever it is that you have. And so God does not want you to liquidate what you have. He wants you to manage it and to give as the Holy Spirit leads you to give. And then God will keep your well, so to say, full. You will not run dry. So when we give, we do not go sparingly. If somebody has a need, we make sure that we meet that need, just like you would want somebody to meet your need when you have a need. Let me talk about love. We talk about money. We talk about cars and trucks and stuff like this. But there's one thing that we need to give that you have an abundance of. Your love. I had a lady call in this week that I took the call. She lived in Texas. I'm not going to put a name on her. And she said, I had a revelation from God. I didn't have a home. Apparently lived in foster homes. And I never had any mom or dad that really cared for me. No one ever done anything for me. I'm 50 plus years old. And the Lord told me this. What you didn't get as a child, a teenager, find somebody that has a need and give it to them. Love them. She said, do you think that's from God? I said, yes. That is from God. I said, when you do that, it's going to be healing to your soul. So it's not just money, but it's giving of yourself. People are shut-ins. People are lonely. You know, we are busy. I'm a busy guy. But at times, I got to simply say, I'm going to sit down and do shoot the breeze for the people. Just talk with them. Be friendly. And, you know, just be accessible. Sometimes we need that. Every man according to his purpose in his heart. Let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I'll never forget this. This is the time my wife had fell down from a trailer, and she cracked her, pelvis. And they had to take it to the hospital. It was very painful. And I went in there. We're going to pick it home. And there was a person coming up with a huge bouquet of flowers. And they said, Ina Terrell, is she here? And I said, yeah, that's my wife. She's over there. These flowers are for her. I said, really? I looked at the card. It was from a lady we never met from Ohio. She had seen the prayer request that I sent out. She saw the hospital, and she probably spent $100. She'd never seen my wife. I'd never seen her. But she felt to give. And, you know, we were just standing there in the hospital looking, you know. We don't know this person. And we could feel the love coming from that beautiful flowers. That's what you want to do. You want to live like this. Turn to Proverbs 19:17. He that has pity on the poor lends unto the Lord. And that which he gives, will he pay him again. That's another spiritual law. When you give to somebody, you have pity. and you give some money, whatever it is. God says, I see that. I will pay you back. You will receive kindness in return. I got to share this story with you. This is too good to let go. Four years ago or so, I had a deck that had fallen apart. So I'm not going to talk about the deck, but it was falling apart. Some of us here that were taken through deliverance was a skilled carpenter and contractor and said, you know, I got a week extra here, you know, I'll rebuild your deck. I said, great. So I took my F-250 truck, drove it to Sacramento, and all I had was 20-foot pieces of wood. And so I said, well, I probably can handle that. So I had to load it in. I tied it down. Now, this was not wood. It was it's a composition. It's very slick. So my wife and I got in the car, in the truck, and we eased out from this supply place, Sacramento. And we were driving home. And we'd gone. I was just about to leave town. We were on Watt Avenue. It's a big street here. And when I heard boom, 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 and I looked behind, and there was my load, about 30 big planks laying on the road. I remember my brother telling me this, don't take the truck, hook up the trailer. We have a trailer that somebody loaned us permanently. And utility trailer, very nice. So I sat there. Now, you know, when you have your brother, you know, he is over-ribbing it in, you know. Family does that, you know. I told you so. Didn't I tell you so, you stupid? Yeah, you told me. So I called my brother. Can you take your truck and bring down a utility trailer? I lost my load. It's laying on the street. I told you so. While he came. It took about 45 minutes for him to come down. Suddenly, from a house, one of the last houses, a lady came out. And she said, how are you going to handle this? I said, well, I got somebody come help me. Are you hungry? Do you want something to drink? I said, my wife could use a bathroom really bad. She said, oh, I'll take my wife with her. She took Ina with her to the bathroom. She came back with some sandwiches, some things to drink. And I never see these people. And I said, well, thank you. That's very kind of you. And I realized what was happening, because in the time past, I couldn't receive anything. I realized these are total strangers looking out the window, saw me out there like an idiot. They felt sorry for me. And they fed us. And this is what I'm talking about. When you live giving, God looks after you. Well, my brother came, we loaded it up. The deck is here now. It's a memory, but it's a sweet memory of those people that came out, took us in the house to use our bathroom, and gave us food and drink while we sat there in a hot summer day waiting for help. Let me take it to Matthew 10 now. Matthew chapter 10. So remember this, when you give, you give to God. And by the way, whatever you have, God gave you, right? Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to read verse number 16. So let me do this now. There are people who are professional beggars, as well as those who are homeless due to their drug and alcohol addiction. Some were compulsive gamblers, lost it all. Being a Christian, before a Christian gives money to a poor person, he should do a quick check to find out whether the person's poor. Some people had mental problems, others were sick and lost their jobs and had no place to go except to the streets. You want to be wise. Some 15 years ago, we had a church building in Sacramento. Citrus Heights, by the way, we were at that time. And on a Wednesday night, a man walked in as we had a service, and he said, I'd like to talk to the pastor. So they bundled me. He said, you know, I'm working here. My family lives in Nevada, and somebody just died, and I need to go over there for the funeral. And, you know, I don't have the money, and all I need is about $60-$70 for gas, you know, to go over there. And I talked to the elders. We looked at one another. We says, okay. So we gave him the money, and the guy took off. So that was that. But a year later, the same guy came back. This time he called a wife and two children, two small children. He didn't remember he had been in our church. He was one of those hitting churches up. And they always hit you on Wednesday night or Sunday after church. Because that when you leave church, you're soft. That's what they hit you. That's what you stand outside. So he had a soft story now, you know, somebody else that he had a need of. And he said, you know, could you help me some cash? I said, excuse me, I said, weren't you here about a year ago? Didn't you have a funeral in Nevada? The guy looked at me, looked at his wife, he said, go. He took off. Then we had a big drive in Sacramento. And the big drive was helping the homeless. This is done out of Capital Christian Center, was sponsoring that. And all the churches were together. They've been advertised. And they're going to have an area downtown, some kind of a park, where the homeless could go, where we as churches could go and find and help some people. So we had prayed about it, and we said, well, we cannot help everybody. We're a small church. We will help one family. So me and a couple of elders, my wife was there and some others, we walked down there. We walked around. There's about hundreds of people. We walked around. And then we saw this one guy. He had a white shirt, like an office shirt, and there was a woman there and two small children. And I felt drawn to him. He didn't look like a bum. So I thought, you know, he's probably out of his luck. So we went over there and said, you know, are you homeless? Yes. Well, we need a place. So I says, well, here's what we can do. We can temporarily have you stay in our church. And we will feed you there, and we will help you. We will work with you and to get you some employment, to get you some place to live and so on. So we will carry you over that period. So they were happy. We brought them into the church. Everybody in the church helped out. They brought in supplies and stuff and money. Not money, but food and so on. And they set up camp inside our church facility. And this went on for... We hadn't left for maybe 3-4 weeks or something like that. And then we found out that they were not married. They were just together. So they said, we want to get married. But, you know, we can't afford a divorce. And, you know, we do this and that. So I called a rescue mission up in Reno, Nevada. And said, if I send a family up there, because they had to be there for 6 weeks to get residency, so this woman could advertise in the papers, her husband was a drug addict, whatever he was, and so they could get a divorce and get married. So we did. We sent them up there, took them up, and then they came back, and they got married, and we're still back in the church building. So one day, I came up, traveling to expect me. And I found out that this guy was a professional drug dealer. And he had set up shop in our church. He figured this out. The cops are not going to come and bust me in the church. So he had his customer come at night when we were not at the church. And they would come in and make their buys and pay him off. And so that's when everything fell apart. And I realized we have been taken for a big ride. Now, I share that with you to let you know that there are professional people. There was a story that I followed on television here in Sacramento. There was a lady. She lived up in a place called Paradise. She lived in Oroville. She lived in Oroville. She had one or two children. Every morning, she would drive from Oroville, which is about a two-hour drive, into Sacramento. She would sit downtown, had really poor clothing on her, ragged clothing on the children, and she would sit there and beg all day long, and she would collect $500, $700, $700. She would get in the car, drive home, and then change clothing and so on. That was her job until she got busted. And I found out, you know, that she was a professional beggar. And she used the children. And you can see this. They either had a dog or they got children because you get more sympathetic and you give more money. I had people come into the church one time and they said, you know, we are at the luck. We don't have any money. We don't have this or that. I said, but we can't give you money. But I said, they can give you a lot of food. We don't want food, we want cash. Bye. So I'm trying to temper here the teaching today that we are to be giver, but you are responsible who you give to. And want to make sure that you give to the right person. Let's turn it to Romans chapter 12, verse number 6. Having then gift differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or a ministry, let us wait on a ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts or exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. There is a spiritual gift of giving. This is above now normal. If God has given you that gift, God would have given you a capacity to build a business or to have some kind of income, whatever it is, where God is blessing you abundantly and building you up riches. So that he can use you as a giver. There are people, their purpose on earth is to simply suck up money, put it in a pool, and then distribute it as the Holy Spirit gives. I'm going to give one example here this morning. And this is a man by the name of Laturno, L-A-T-U-R-N-E. We used to carry the book. I don't think we carry it anymore. Laturno was a earth mover. He was active about 1920 as a young man. And he was working with a guy by the name of Caterpillar. And they were down in the Stockton area in the middle here of Central California. And Benjamin Holt, that was his name, Benjamin Holt, was the one that did the caterpillars and other things. And then Laturno created the earth-moving equipment, the scrapers that you see that rotate like these big ones. So he developed that. And they had a big business. It was booming. There were a lot of roads built at that time in the 1920s and 1930s and up in the 40s. And Laturno was a strong Christian, and he made a deal with God when he started out. He lived in a modest house with his wife and children. He said, God, I'm going to give you my tithe. I'm going to give 10% all the time to you. And I'm going to be a giver. But God blessed him. His company got bigger and bigger. He became a multimillionaire. He never moved from his house. He just renovated, stayed in his house. And he began to give to missions and stuff like this. But then he decided this. He said, now I can give to these different places. But I want to do something that when I'm gone to be with Jesus, my giving will go on. He said, I'm going to create, I'm going to build a college where people are learning skills, a vocational college, which he built in Texas. And he put the money in, they put an investment and stuff like this, and that vocational college is still going today. He's been dead now for maybe 30, 40 years, and still young people that can't afford something, they select them very carefully, go to this place, get the skill, and are able to go out and make a living. This guy now sits up in heaven, looking down and saying, well, you know, I was a millionaire. I didn't have a big house. I was happy with what I got, but going to sleep in one bed at one time. And, you know, he drove motor cars. But he's sitting there. He's looking at his heavenly banking account. Because Jesus said, put your treasures in where moth and rust and faith don't get it. But anyway, put them in heaven. He sees his heavenly banking account there. Boom, it just goes up and up and up, just like the stock market, just going up, never goes down. And he said, man, that's an investment. That's an internal investment. People, I'm helping people. They are helping people. People are getting saved. It perpetuates itself. And this is some of you watching or listening. Maybe now or later, these videos will be for a few years around. You might be one of these that says, well, I got a gift of giving, and God has blessed me. Whatever I touch, I make money on it. Well, God has blessed you to be a giver. Be careful. Don't give away everything. Ask the Holy Spirit, where do I give? Don't give to something that does not work. If you see a rat hole, don't put more rats in the rat hole. If there's a business that's not going anyplace and there's no plan for the business to go anyplace, then you don't want to invest there because the guy is stuck. You want to help the person to move on and to get out of the rat hole. So you've got to be wise, pray, and be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read a nice verse here, Deuteronomy 8:18. I like to preach positive things. I enjoy that. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish covenant with you, which he sware to your fathers, as it is this day. Remember this now. It is God that gives you the power to get wealth. Realize this. Your body is not yours. You are loaned a body, guaranteed for 120 years, if you follow the manufacturer's handbook. When you leave this earth, when your soul leaves this earth, you're going to leave your body behind. All your possessions you're going to leave behind. You're going to leave your credit card, your rings, your wallet. You take nothing with you except your soul and your spirit. And whatever you have invested in the kingdom of God. That's what you get with you. So notice this now. If you say, well, I'm smart. Who gave it intelligence? Well, I'm strong. But who gave you the health? God is giving the health. He's giving you the intelligence. He's giving you the talents. Listen. You and I can brag about nothing. There's only one thing we can brag about. Obedience. You can brag about that you are obedient. Whatever skills you got, God put them in you. Whatever you have, He did it. Give Him the glory and recognize that He's the one to give you the power to get wealth. Michael Milliken, dear brother of ours here, been here for deliverance. He was doing great, and he was working for a family. He's a maintenance guy. Matter of fact, he was maintaining this particular business. He's a manager for that. And one day, he's driving down, going to work or whatever he's doing. Someone came, drove over on his side, had a medical problem, hit him head on, broke his lower legs, his upper legs, damaged the rest of his body. And suddenly, he ain't working. He's laid up. 6 months. He's strong. He was healthy. Powerful man. Physically. He's like a little baby right now. I want you to see this. Your health. You should praise God every day. Thank you, Lord. My kidneys are working. Thank you, God. My intestines are working. Thank you, Lord, for a great colon. Thank you, Lord, for my lungs. Thank you for my heart. We should be thankful because God is the one that gives it to us. He keeps us going. We should simply be thankful and be humble and be in humility. I like Brother Henry what he said. You know, not every church is authorized kingdom reception for taxes from heaven at the tithing. In Matthew 7:6, we read this. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest you trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Now, we don't like the television evangelists that we have here in America today, the big town mega pastors that are making $10,000 a month, driving Bentleys, Rolls Royce, have 2 or 3 airplanes. And we say, you know, well, these guys are rascals. But let me ask you this now. Who gave them the money? God's people. God's people, the sheep, are the ones that gave these dogs the money. And they simply saying this, but people are dumb. I heard evangelists say, you know, we gotta have money because we gotta evangelize here, we gotta do this or that. No, they don't need more money for that, but they need more money to spend on themselves. So learn this. If you've been giving to the big television evangelist, if you've been giving to TBN and some of the other places, that is just horrible. God is going to say, whatever you tithe, that is not counted because you gave it to the dogs. You gave it to the wrong place. You want to give what is used for the gospel. Yes, pastors need salaries. Workers need salaries. But they don't need exuberant salaries. We don't need 3 vacation homes. We need just normal living, normal standard. So remember this. Don't squander your donations. Be sure that you check it out. I got a friend of, actually, it's a friend of mine, and his first name is Joseph. And he lives in Oregon right now. And I remember Joseph back in 1990, and he lived in toward the Bay Area, and he was working, he was an air traffic controller, had good income. He came up with his 2 sons one day. We were in a church in Sacramento, and he had heard me on the radio, and he said, I'd like to meet you, Brother John. I'd like to check your church out. Show me around what you got. So we spent a couple of hours together. And he said, before I give, he said, I want to make sure that you are not a ripoff. Joseph has been giving his tithe to this ministry from 1990 to this month. That's a long time, because he checked me out. You need to check the place out where you're putting your money. So let me talk to you about tithing. Tithing is a sore point for some people. Now, like Paula from Oregon, she's a cheerful giver. When Paula came to this ministry, she's never been down here. She's one of our cyber members. She was sickly, didn't have any money, always poor. She's a nurse. And so we talked to her, and she wanted to go through deliverance. And we said, well, one of the things you got to do is, if you want your finances to increase, you got to tithe, because you're cursed. Well, she fought that first. She said, well, I don't have anything to give. Well, you give, you tithe, you simply start tithing, and God will make you to provide. So now, after about 4 or 5 years, she writes, praise God, her knee was healed, she had surgery, heart was healed, she's working now. I can work more hours, I'm a nurse, she goes in homes. She said, I'm making so much money, I paid off all my debts, and I can give them more. That's a cheerful giver. Now, she started out to the poorhouse, and now she's having more than she needs. So let me just read this to you here. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sent on Jacob and I consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances, have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of our host. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, when have you robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. God told his people Israel, you are to pay 10% of your income to me. That was to the synagogue system. This law of tithing is still today here. It still stands. Today you tithe to the church. And you don't control the tithe. You tithe to a church. You got to be someplace where you know they're going to use it right. If you are a Christian and you are not giving 10% to the Lord, you are a registered thief. You're registered in heaven. God has registered you as a thief, a robber. And he has put a curse on you. So the more you work, the less you have. You are tithing. Your car breaks down. This breaks down. This breaks down. You're tithed in the hospital. You're tithed in the dentist. You're tithed all over the place. God is going to get the money out of you. It's smarter to give it to him, and then you will have an abundance. Because listen to this. Bring your tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me not herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, there should not be room enough to receive it. What about if you don't have the money? There's a lot of people who say, well, I don't have the money. I was one of those. We couldn't make it. And God said, tithe. How do you get out of poverty? How do you get out when you don't have anything? You tithe yourself out of it. If you're on welfare, you tithe yourself out of welfare. If you are in debt, you tithe yourself out of it. If you say, well, mathematics doesn't work out. If we do this, we can't do this and that. Listen, buddy. The word of God is true. Let every man be a liar. If you line up with the Word of God, you will be blessed. You don't line up with the Word of God, and you will forever go from one disaster to the other disaster, never having enough. Why? Because you are a registered thief in heaven. And there's one place I don't want to be registered as a thief. And then God said this, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before your time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations are called you blessed. You shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. So I'm not going to read from Ezekiel chapter 34. And so I'm just going to put it down here that we should give. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 26. Verse number 7. Then came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Picture yourself this now. Jesus, the last night on earth for him in his body. This woman comes in. Her name was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. She's a very expensive ointment, probably worth thousands of dollars today. And they sat at meat. They didn't have a chair. They would lay down. Feet were outside. She went down, knelt down where Jesus' feet was. She had long hair. She broke that box open. She started to put them on his feet, massaged them. Then she wiped it with her hair. She was anointed him for his burial. The whole house smelled of his perfume. His apostles now got mad. He said, for this could have been sold. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Wasting on Jesus? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said to them, why trouble you the woman? For she wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you. But me you have not always. For she has poured out this ointment on my body. She did it for my burial. Verily said to you, wheresoever this gospel can be preached in the whole world, they shall also this, when this woman has done, be told for a memorial of her. And I just memorial that right now. Closing scripture, Psalm 150. This is what you and I can give to the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psalt and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud sounding cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. In giving, we can't send money to heaven. We can't ship food up there. There's nothing we can give except our worship and praise. Every morning when you wake up, you should simply thank God. Another day given to me. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep. Thank you, Lord, for a good breakfast. Thank you, Lord, for a good day at work today. Thank you, Lord, for a great dinner when you come home. And then when you go to bed, thank you, Lord, that I have a beautiful bed, a nice bed to sleep in, clean sheets, air-conditioned home. Luxury like no king ever had in the old days. Thank him. thank him. When you go to the bathroom, thank him that you don't have to be on dialysis. Thank him when you do number two in the bathroom, that you don't have a bag on the side, but you have a colon that's working. There's a lot of people got bags on the side because their colon's gone. Thank God you got a gallbladder. Thank God all the glands are working in your body. You know what? We are an unthankful bunch of people. And then when we lose it, we start complaining. I think if you get into a habit of praise, and you think about the little things, a glass of cold water, a good meal, a warm shower, or cold shower in the summertime, blessings. And God is looking down upon us. He says, I love you. And when we are thankful, he says, that's my son, that's my daughter down there. I love her. I want to close with this little story, a short story. I was here in the office in this particular building when we got the chapel. Charles and Katarina were here. They both work in the ministry. And they have six children. The children were here. And they have a little boy by the name of Daniel. He's 7 years old, cheerful little guy. And I was sitting and talking to Charles. We were discussing the sermon, correcting my English and stuff like this. And Daniel came up and tapped me on the hand here and talked in my ear. And I had a hard, difficult time to hear what he said. So I said, what? He said it again. I said, what? And Charles said, Daniel, to tell you this. He wants to give you a hug. Wow. Okay. Daniel, you want to give me a hug? Oh, man, I'll take that. And I hugged him. That felt good. You know? He didn't have any money. But he made me feel good. He lifted my spirit. That's what we need to give to God. We can't hug God, but we can praise him. Put your hands up. When you're alone, and say, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you. You're great. You're my daddy. So that's it for today. Now, you've been watching, and I know I got people that watch it that are not saved. And I've been talking to you a number of times and said, you know, here's what you do to get in on this good stuff. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day. And ask God to forgive your sins and ask Jesus to come in and save you. And you'll be part of the family of God. When we finish here, the screen will go blank. Then another screen will come up. You will see three nice crosses. And you'll hear a very nice voice saying, hello, my friend. And that is Pastor Charles Terrell. And he will give you about 6-7 minutes of his time. He will read some scriptures. Then he would say, would you pray with me as he lead you in a prayer, the sinner's prayer to be saved? Why don't you do that today? As you see the screen here go blank, as you see the three crosses come up, just pay attention and get saved today so that you will have your eternity safe and secure. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, you can always walk a little bit better. I'm happy with where I'm at today, but I don't want to be tomorrow where I'm at today. I want to be a little bit higher tomorrow. We want to improve constantly. You don't want to coast. You want to keep growing. So read the outline, listen to it again, and then do. Be a doer of the word. And here is Brother Thomas, to close in prayer.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for our many blessings and the word here today that needed to be spoken because people need to be reminded that they should be thankful. And like the pastor covered already, every little thing we need to be grateful for. We thank you for all these wonderful things, Lord. We thank you for the ability to be here today, the ability to be conscious. There are people that are unconscious, in comas. So we thank you for that, Lord. But we thank you for the Word of God who tells us how to live, how to prosper in God's kingdom, and how to be a light in this dark world. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you.
but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the eighth part in the series, The Life of Jesus, and was entitled, Going the Extra Mile. Israel was an occupied country at the time of Jesus. A Roman soldier could order a Jew to stop whatever he was doing and carry a burden for 1 mile. Jesus shocked the people when he said to go 2 miles if a Roman compelled them to go 1 mile. Christians should be willing to go the extra mile, and treating unbelievers with kindness will certainly make them more open to the gospel message. Jesus stated in the laws given to Moses that people ought to care for their neighbors and help the poor. Giving and tithing needs to be a way of life, rather than a random event. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is just as real as gravity, and Jesus loves it when you are a cheerful giver. In fact, everything you possess is on loan from God, and this means that you should be a good steward of what has been entrusted to you. Don't give to churches and Christian organizations that squander funds through misuse and extravagant spending. Instead, giving should be done on an informed basis, or the Lord will hold you responsible. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1711. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.